to Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
And it is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Welcome. So, it is good to be back, would you say, Karen?
We're reunited, and it feels so good. That's right.
Yep.
I know. We haven't been together in a couple of weeks.
I was singing that the entire night. You can just ask Jamie. Text her later on. She'll tell you.
Ah, well, what your wife tells me is that you spent last night standing in line to get tickets to the new Twilight movie with your Team Edward shirt on.
I can't.
I'm not going to say the rest of what she said, but it was hilarious.
I can't say that with a straight face. I kind of just really don't care at this point.
Actually, I am going to say it because she said before you ran out screaming, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, to get in line, you changed your tampon is what she said.
Oh, snap. Did she really say, oh my God.
She totally did. Your wife just totally dogged you publicly on Facebook. So there you go.
She does it all the time. But don't worry, she gets hers.
It was funny. It cracked me up. So, yes, that's the big news. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and tonight and tomorrow, Twilight Breaking Dawn. I will not be there.
No, neither will I. So, you know, let's see. Who do we got on the show tonight this week?
We have somebody whose name we aren't quite sure that we can pronounce yet because Cheryl forgot to ask her.
Producers. Cheryl, don't you know that it's your job to keep us happy?
I just say Lee.
Lee Brown, founder of Paranormal Research Organization of the Southeast. We're going to be talking some ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And before we do that...
Well, also her husband's going to be joining us as well.
Maybe.
So it's going to be
Maybe.
Okay.
He might be standing online for Twilight Breaking Dawn tickets.
He might be, you know, I mean, he looks like a tough guy, but he looked, you know, he could be a softie on the inside. You never really know for sure, so.
That's right. Might be Team Edward t-shirt, or, you know, he'd probably be Team Jacob just to piss you off.
No, I gotta be the sensitive type, you know. I haven't washed my hair in a week, just, you know, waiting for this very moment.
Oh, good. Okay, well, get it all messy styled. It'll be very, very sexy. But yeah, before we talk to our guests, my team had a great investigation last Saturday with two other teams, with WOPI, which is the Western Oregon Organization of Paranormal Investigators, and Past is Present. Mm-hmm. And we investigated the USS Turner Joy, which is a Vietnam-era destroyer, where three of the captains on the ship went crazy. One of them came upstairs in his underwear, on deck in his underwear and cowboy boots. And, you know, a lot of people were shot down and died on deck during the war, things like that. So it's a really interesting place. First time I've investigated a ship. And here's what I discovered. Ships are stinky. And there's lots of random noises that, like, because water slaps against the hull and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of hard sometimes, and they're echoey and all of that. But sound travels really well. One thing that was really funny is, you know, we kept hearing footsteps outside and stuff, and one of the teams went running on deck because they were going to catch this ghost that was outside running around on deck. It was a raccoon.
So was there a whole lot of that? What the hell was that? Did you hear that?
No, we don't do that. Mm-mm.
I know. I know you don't.
We're very awesome. So, no, that's not what we did. We were very calm. But it's a cool place. And we'll be going back to investigate again this summer, probably. And what's really cool is my team, South Sound Paranormal Research, was the first team to investigate it a couple years ago, this ship. So
it was like virgin territory for you guys then.
Well, this was a couple years ago, but now lots of people investigate it. It's well-known. It's a well-known haunted location. Lots of things happen there. So that was my weekend, and you had something you wanted to talk about with regard to paranormal equipment.
Yes. You know, lately I've been seeing a lot of people who they're selling their gear. And, you know, I put something on my Facebook earlier, you know, asking why are people selling gear? Is it because they're finally realizing that this stuff is, like, insanely expensive and they need to feed their families? Or, you know, what's the deal behind that? See, like with me, like a lot of people seem to think like Rick is like anti-paranormal gear. That is so far from the truth. I'm a guy.
You're a gadget guy. Gadgets are cool.
And I'm a nerd. So, yeah. Of course, I'm naturally going to like things that look like tricorders or Doctor Who's sonic screwdriver. I'm going to like those kind of things. The only problem that I have with it is that it is so insanely expensive. And I would rather feed my kid and make sure that his diapers change because, my God, the poop is insane. Apparently, he has his mother's colon. So, I mean, it's like, you know, he eats and then 5 seconds later.
That's that little... I think that that's really you slapping back at Jamie for the tampon comment, I'm guessing.
Nope, it's actually very quite true. However, so what I did was is I actually went on various ghost hunting gear type websites that sell this stuff just to see how much these things cost. Yes. And to compare them to, you know, the price of diapers, which is like $37. So I just wanted to know, because it's like, even though I would love to have these things, I can't, because, you know, I live in the real world.
You won't be in diapers forever.
Exactly.
But so then you have to start saving for college.
Exactly. Well, I'm hoping that he's going to be like a super genius or something. But you know what? Okay, so I went in and I took a look at, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that are, you know, some of the most sought after gear in the whole paranormal world right now that just everybody adores. So, okay. First off, let's start with the Melmeter.
We have one of those.
Okay, it's a sexy toy. Zach uses it, not all the time completely correctly, but, you know, he uses it. We see it a lot on television. You guys use it. I'm very much presume that you guys use it correctly. So, okay.
I would assume so, yes. I'm not allowed to touch the equipment.
For good reason, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
So a Melmeter, $239.
Yes. Wow.
Okay, $239. Now, this is for, like, the newest generation Melmeter, which is, you know, the one that's got, like, the, you know, the big long antenna on it, and you point it at stuff. And okay, Zach uses it. You have to have it. Compared to six boxes of diapers.
Six boxes of diapers. So that's... it's been a while since I've had a kid. I mean, okay. A little kid. So how many diapers are we talking in a box of diapers?
Like 35, 40 something.
So a box lasts, what, like a week?
Box lasts about a week, week and a half, okay. Maybe two.
So six weeks of diapers, we'll say.
Exactly. Okay, so 6 weeks of diapers. Full spectrum camera, $249.
We have one of those. Boxes.
Okay. And they're awesome. I love them. I've used them many times, and I think
I'm not allowed to touch it.
Thanks. For good reason, I'm sure. Okay, so, all right. The next two, not that big of a deal, okay? The Avalis, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Okay, $120. Huh?
I touch it. Oh,
you touch it? You're allowed to touch it? So it's... I'm sure Jim likes that. $120, which is three boxes. That's not a problem. That's, you know, about three weeks worth.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. And the last one that's a little bit on the cheaper side is the SB7 Ghost Box. Now, I know that the Ghost Box is something that's really cool, and I do think that there's something, you know, there may be some amount of truth to it, but it makes so much damn noise that it's like
it does.
There could be stuff that is going on around you at the moment that is so much better than just hearing something say hi, and it could be something that's completely random from you know, the thousand different channels. So, anyways, that's two boxes of diapers. That's not a big deal. Got that sitting upstairs right now. But wait, number five.
There's more.
The FLIR thermal cam. Now I'm talking. This thing is brand new. I'm talking brand spanking new. It's the kind of one that Big Daddy Hawes has been using for years on that show that I'm not allowed to talk about because it'll get us sued.
Yeah, so, but they're a lot less expensive than they used to be.
Right, absolutely. So, but this one, $1,995.
Interesting. So, wow, how many boxes?
54 boxes.
That's a year of diapers, man.
Exactly. And that's what Jamie told me. She's like, that's a year, year and a half of diapers. Yep. So when you add it all up, you're talking about, you know, many, many thousands of dollars. And these are just five things. And it's like, if you want to own these things, fine. I don't. I've used them. I like them. I learned how to use them properly, you know, with like with a lot of the EMF detectors. You can't just go waving around in the air because random.
No, you need to learn how to use them.
Exactly. So it's like, why spend thousands of dollars on equipment just because
you don't know what it does?
Awesome. If you don't know what it does, or if you don't know how to use it, but
I totally
still,
agree.
Right. But it's like when you live in like the real world and you don't have a television show or you don't have financial backers or anything of that nature. You know, I have to stick with my compass. I have to stick with, you know, yep. like a, you know, a digital
camera.
I am
allowed to touch the compass, though. See?
There you have it, then. Mm-hmm. So it's like there are alternatives that you can use rather than paying, you know, thousands of dollars worth of equipment.
I can also use my, I can also touch my pen and paper and my own recorder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so,
I mean, my very first investigation in September of 1991, it was me, a pen, and a pad of paper.
Yeah.
That cost all of maybe under $5 in 1991.
Yeah.
So,
hey, Cheryl, just a sec. I have to interrupt you, Rick. Cheryl?
Hi.
Are you getting a distinct, you kids get off of my lawn, old man vibe from Rick at this time?
I didn't want to say anything, but yes.
Hey, get off my lawn!
You kids get off my lawn!
No, but just the point that I'm trying to make is like, you know, there are so many more important things, and all you have to do is you just got to learn how to improvise a little bit to save money because, you know, hey, I mean, you can still hunt ghosts and have a great time doing it and all and come up with great evidence without, you know, spending the equivalent of, let me see, 6, that's 13, 16, 18, 72 boxes of diapers worth of equipment.
Exactly. You know, our team.
For the night.
I think, and I could be wrong.
Jane,
I think
you ignorant slut. No, please. Go on.
I think that the most expensive piece of equipment that our team has is a. Is a DVR system, and I think that that investment is really a good investment because you can set up cameras in rooms and you can have eyes on places even when people aren't there.
Yeah.
That being said, the DVR system, here's what's really annoying about the DVR system. You have to go back and review it all.
Exactly.
And the team actually owns that equipment. We actually pay dues, monthly dues with our team. Not a lot, you know, just a relatively small amount. And then we take a vote and we purchase equipment as we think we need it. And really, the DVR system has been absolutely invaluable. But everything else, you know. We bring a lot of our own. The most expensive piece of equipment that I personally have is a Zoom H4 high definition recorder, and I think it's a great piece of equipment. But I also use it for things other than the paranormal. Tanner uses it for his filmmaking, and we use it to record when Tanner has concerts and things like that as well.
Sure.
So it's a good piece of equipment. But other than that, you know, we don't have really expensive stuff, and we do just fine. Mostly I have pad of paper, my pen, I have a compass, and I you know, and a recorder, and that's about it, although I will pull out my little chintzy ghost box from time to time too.
Yeah, I mean, I have one. I made it myself, you know, a shack hack, and you know, I got it. Do I use it? No, because it makes so much damn noise.
It's like so noisy.
Oh god. Well, anyways, so now that I'm done with my editorial,
you kids get off my lawn.
Get off my field. You know, so so I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. Correct, Karen?
That is correct. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we will be with our guests, whose name Cheryl wouldn't tell us how to pronounce. She probably knows, and just being difficult.
I know.
And so stick around. This Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio, only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American News and Politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
I'm not a station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. Tonight joining us is going to be Lee Triana, or Lee.
And now we're not sure how to pronounce the last name. Is it Braun? Brun?
I'm assuming it's Brown. Lee is the founder and lead investigator, co-founder and co-lead investigator for Paranormal Research Organizations of the Southwest. Southeast. Sorry about that. Southeast. You guys are out of one of the Carolinas. Lee is also a Reiki master, a Qigong master, which is very beautiful. I've actually seen people do that on the streets of Chicago before. So, Lee Triana, or Lee, welcome to the underground.
Did we lose her?
Hello?
Lee?
Uh-oh.
Cheryl?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there she is!
Oh, there you are.
Hi! it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for the introduction. And it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, so you do Qigong.
Yes.
And, you know, I pretend to do interpretive dance, but only in a funny way. So maybe we should have an interpretive dance versus Qigong smackdown. Like
it's
a dance song.
That would be fun.
There is a viral video of Karen doing interpretive dance on YouTube. It's the most hilarious thing you'll ever see.
No, there's not. But I do, every once in a while, I like to do a little interpretive dance because it cracks me up. Where Qigong is actually really beautiful. And so I'm just really interested in it. Could you explain the Qigong really quickly?
Well, Qigong and Reiki both are a type of, it's the study of energy manipulation is the best way I can describe it. Qi being the qi that is inside of each one of us, mm-hmm. and being able to find that qi and be able to use it to heal, to bring peace, joy. I'm Native American, so I spent a week recently at the beach for mm-hmm. my day job. And being Native American on the Eastern Band and Western Band Cherokee side, I studied a lot about things my father had taught me and my grandmother and things I'd studied on my own and things that I'd studied in Reiki and as well as Qigong. And I realized that I am more of a shaman type walk. Okay. Sort of blend it all together. I'm actually working on a series right now called Sacred Voices,
okay.
where it helps you understand a lot more about your place in the universe. As far as, let me explain, that sounds so flower child.
I'm a total hippie, so it's good.
That's okay. I trend on the new agey side, so go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a hippie. You're good. Keep going.
Okay, well, the reason why I'm saying this, so many people right now, you know, it's like, I want this right now, you know, drive-through kind of mentality, you know, fast-food mentality. I want this now, and God doesn't love me because I don't have what I want right now, and I'm not going to be happy until I have this. Or
yes.
this, or this, or I must have this because this person has it. And, you know, it gets into a very complicated scheme of things for people
mm-hmm.
When they put, you know, a price tag on their happiness and on their love. And then when you add paranormal investigation in on that, and you add, you know, people being judgmental towards other religions or
sure.
towards spirits and things like that, it really gets complicated, and it gets to be very negative, very concerned about the state of our economy and the state of our country. And I believe that if we use positive affirmations, which is the base of Reiki and of Qigong, as well as Native American shaman. The base of it is that you're not in control of it. The Great Spirit is in control. And that if you claim positive affirmations over your life and over the lives of the people that you love, and that nothing's going to happen to you that you and God together can't handle.
Sure.
And, well, you expect that. You know, you expect that in your life. It takes away the fear-based reaction, the knee-jerk fear-based reaction.
Yep, I agree with you.
And it takes away also going into an investigation and being a real grouchy and disrespectful to a spirit just to get evidence.
Well, we see
or
that.
Going, I cannot stand people to go in and just say whatever they need to say and do whatever they need to do in order to get a response from a spirit. And then, you know, it might be a client's home and say, well, yep, you've got a spirit in there. Best of luck to you. Place is haunted. And they drive off.
Well, that seems to be, you know, that's what's happened. That's because that's due to, you know, again, the entertainment side of this, because people don't understand that there is so much more that goes into this than just, you know, yelling at something that may or may not even be there and looking like a crazy person.
Right. And so many times I've seen people reaching out in spirituality, trying to find what they're looking for, and then make a mess of things. And that's why I've been called in to try to straighten something out that they've done.
So here's what I like about it. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
But anyway, I answer your question about Qigong, honey?
I just kind of went off. No, it's good. What you're doing is you're taking an integrated approach. And I like that, because so much of what you see right now is that religion is separate from paranormal, is separate from metaphysical kind of stuff, is separate from spirituality. And we lack this broad overview of interconnectedness. And it leaves us very isolated and polarized in our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what you're talking about, as far as I understand, is more of a reintegration of the whole part of every person. And that makes it easier to not only just have a happier life personally, but to get along as a society as well. Do I have that right?
That's exactly right. There is a master, Carl Romain, who is a Qigong master that I really admire. And he talks about doing the daily exercises, Qigong workouts, where you breathe in slowly. And basically you're getting control not only of your body and your emotions, but of the energy inside you. Because the sooner you figure out that you are a spiritual being incarnate, you know, if you're not just limited to your skin, you know, the spirits see you as a spiritual being too.
Sure.
And you know, he talks a good bit about that, and he, as he explains how to do these exercises, he talks about how to move the energy through your body to treat things for yourself, like what do you call it? Varicose veins, or high blood sugar, or arthritic knees, or things like that. Well, Reiki is the same way. Now, somebody that we all know and love, Jason Hawes of TAPS, he's written several books where he has talked about how he uses Reiki on investigations.
Well, okay,
I'm a fan of Jason. I really am. And he had a friend teach him Reiki.
Okay, I just have a quick question for you, because, I don't doubt that, because I've actually read their books where he does talk about doing that kind of thing, and where he does talk about having some mediumistic ability. What I want to know is, it almost seems like a person is self-loathing, especially when there's an episode of your television show where you tell everybody that's watching, don't trust psychics. That makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
The only response I have to that is that fear-based response, because he can't prove mediumship on some sort of recording or documentation.
Oh, sure, of course.
So therefore he's staying clear of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He uses Reiki as a manner to see Reiki. If you're able to have energy, let's say you're a massage therapist. Let me go back to Reiki so that I can get our listeners up to par where we are.
Sure.
Let's say I'm a massage therapist and you've been injured in a car accident and you've got a really bad shoulder. What I could do is I could concentrate Reiki, which is basically, it's like a prayer. I'm asking God and energy to flow through me, through my body, through the palms of my hands, into your shoulder. And I don't have to think about it for very long because it's not my energy.
Sure.
And it would flow right to where you need it the most. And you would feel it because the palms of my hands would get hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it would massage right into that muscle or into the tendons or ligaments, wherever, you know, it would go through casts, you know, if you have a cast on your arm or whatever. And it would loosen that muscle to where it would be easier to massage and to nurture and help. I'm like a massage therapist. It makes their job easier, you know, doing massage. That's where you hear the most about Reiki, massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me to tell you my idea about orbs. I don't know how you guys feel about orbs, but don't let me forget that.
Okay.
All right, now, so we're talking about Reiki. Mm-hmm. If you have the ability to transfer energy that's not yours to an entity that's trying to manifest, suddenly you become a battery that doesn't, it's not pulling your energy. You're not going to be tired from it. It's not going to make you sick.
Sure.
So it's easier for it to manifest.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
That's what you use it for. So, I mean, in my investigations, if you go to my website, I'm going to plug it real quick. It's www.paranormalpros.com. You'll see my children or myself. Here, hold my hand. Let me give you some energy. Come to me. Hold my hand. I'm right here. I'm going to give you some energy. And let me try to help you. You know, and that kind of thing. And if you notice, and I'm just going to go ahead and say Jason's name again. I'm a fan of his.
No, you know,
Right in it. He'll put his hand right in a cold spot, and he's trying to help manifest a spirit.
Lee, I just want to say, it's like I don't dislike Jason Hawes. I just it's not like that at all. I'm not a fan of any of the television shows, but. There was just a few things that I found that were very inconsistent with your own personal beliefs and what you present on.
Oh yeah, now, I don't agree with everything with everybody.
Yeah, of course.
You can ask my husband that.
Yeah, but no, but that's the point I'm trying to make.
One person at all, sure. But he's the one person that I know of that has openly talked very specific about his ability. With Reiki and how he uses it in a paranormal investigation in the manner that I do. I use it much stronger than he does because I'm a master and he's not. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I had one experience with Reiki. It was many years ago. And I actually was having, I'd had a sore throat for months and it wouldn't go away. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And I knew that it was probably more really spiritually driven than physical at that point because it wouldn't go away. So I went to a medical doctor who was also did craniosacral therapy and Reiki, was a Reiki practitioner. And she I just sort of stumbled onto it and it was an amazing experience because when I went in, she did whatever she did. And I burst into tears on her table. I cried for 3 days. 3 days I sobbed. And then the sore throat was gone. I still have no idea what she did to me, but whatever it was, it worked.
She may have used a symbol. Reiki masters use symbols. And she may have thought maybe there was something in your past or something that you had happened to, you know, the different symbols are for different things. There's master symbols, symbols for healing the memories of the past, whether it be broken hearts, There's all kinds of masters even today that, right. I mean, not just ancient symbols, but of today. There's hundreds.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what she did, but I mean, for the three days.
That was very shocking to you, 3 days.
Yeah, for the 3 days, I was not happy. I was like, what did this woman do to me?
And then, sorry.
And then once I had that kind of catharsis, I was fine.
Well, I'll do Reiki for you sometime. I can do it from a distance, and I promise you, you are not going to cry.
Okay.
Anything, I'll make you giggle. Reiki, the word Rei comes from God's wisdom or higher power, and Ki comes from life force energy. So quite literally, it's spiritually guided life force energy that's transferred from the palm of your hands, or if you're doing astral projection, into the body of an ailing person or a spiritual entity that is having trouble manifesting, or to someone that you feel that may need it, to promote healing or to promote well-being. So for her to have created that, I'm curious as to what type of, there's more to that story. What in the world she did, I don't know.
Well, it was some kind, ultimately it was a very good thing. It was clearly some kind of cathartic release, but honestly, I mean, it was at the time, it was shocking. My son
was
three and he was, my son at the time was, why are you crying? Why, mommy? And I was like, I don't know.
Well, I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry when I get angry, and that's really bad. If I'm angry and I'm crying, somebody better move.
I'm the same way. I know. I'm a crybaby. I cry at everything.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You're not telling what maybe she touched.
It was clearly
maybe
something.
Just the relief.
Yeah, and like I say, it was a good thing. I tell that story not as a bad story, but as a good one, because after that, it was fine. So, I don't know.
Lee, I just wanted to ask something. You know, with Reiki as a practice, modern medical science has been around for, maybe 100, 150 years. How long has Reiki as a practice been around? Are its roots ancient?
Did we lose her again?
Hello?
I just hear a big whooshing.
Can you hear me?
There she is!
I'm back again. It's ancient. It is extremely ancient. The origins, a lot of people point the origins to Japan, to Usui. Others point it to Abraham in the Bible. It goes back further than Japan. So, there's a little bit of, discrepancy there.
Sure.
But it's ancient. And in many religions, they talk about hands-on healing. Lay your hands on somebody to pray over them.
Right.
That kind of thing. So,
well, there's bound to be discrepancy when you're dealing with, thousands of years rather than just decades.
Now, I want to go into, I wanted to talk about orbs. Let's talk real quick about chakras, and I'll lead into the orbs. As you know, we have seven different chakras.
Mm-hmm.
The crown chakra, the third eye chakra, there's one at the throat, one at the heart, one around the stomach area, which is like where you would feel your feelings, and then below your belly button, and then around the groin area. And all seven, some say there's 13. I'm still working on the seven. But anyway.
Well, isn't that a Kabbalah thing? They have
Sephiroth.
They use the Sephiroth, which correlate to the chakras. But that's only, I think that's 10.
Right. The 13 goes over to one side of the body. I believe it's the left side and goes down the left side of the body over the heart. Starting from the bottom, it's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and sort of a purpley color. And then the crown, which is sort of an iridescent, and it's multifaceted, almost like imagine wearing a very crystal ball-type hat,
right.
A disco ball-type hat. It's huge. Okay, now each one of those different colors, as you know, colors have different wavelengths. Take a beam of light, run it through a prism, and, you know, it comes out, you know, like on the Pink Floyd album, you know, you see all the different colors of light, and each color of light has a different wavelength. Well, just the same, each energy, each chakra has different wavelengths, and they must stay tuned. And the way that you can tune them is by either wearing colors, different colors, of the area where you feel like you may be weaker. Mm-hmm. You can go to a Reiki master that can actually tune you, or you can get into the sunshine, which, of course, that is white light, so that it would tune them all. So
I use sound tuning. Is that a valid way of doing it as well? Sound frequencies that tune the various chakras?
Right, because there's tuning forks that some people use that are on the same wavelengths as like the color waves. Okay. Now, if we're looking at all of these, what are they, the primary colors?
Mm-hmm.
When you put them all together, you get a white light. Mm-hmm. What color is an orb?
Well, they're all different colors depending on the lens of your camera, but there are some white orbs, yes.
Mm-hmm. They're very iridescent, crystally, but sort of the white lightish. Now, that doesn't mean they're easy to pick out because, you know, you've got the bugs, you've got the dust, you've got the reflections, you've got, you know, so many different things.
Sure.
Problems with your lenses, you've got all of that. But and then there's just natural energy. People that meditate can actually create orbs. But I don't want to dismiss the fact that I believe that the chakras, being that they're all the energy that we have in our body, I believe that is our, mostly our soul. Those colors, that energy, becomes our soul, and it would be a white light.
Well, wouldn't it be a shame if all we've done with, you know, everything that's on television and everything else is say orbs are stupid, orbs are, you know, this and this and this and this and this. That doesn't mean just because they're all these things, just because orbs are bugs and just because orbs are rain or lens flare or things like that, that doesn't mean that orbs aren't something else as well.
Well, I was just going to say. Yeah, I was just going to say that. I mean, I've been in well-lit rooms in the middle of the day watching these multicolored balls of light go just zipping around the room. I actually had one go zip past a clothes rack and actually knocked a hanger right off the clothes rack.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it was like... It was
like a Tinkerbell or something. That had to be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was just... In all the years that I've been doing this, I've never seen that before. And it's true to say to just completely dismiss all of it and it was like, well, it's just bugs and it's just stupid. I've actually heard people say, well, okay, yeah, it might be something, but I'm so over it. But that's like you said, that could be the person's soul. How can you be over something like that?
And what if that was all that they could do to communicate? And we weren't grateful for it, and we missed it. We missed it.
Right.
So many times we just go rushing through things, and we miss it. A simple EVP, they went through the trouble of giving you the voice, and that was their voice, you know, and that was all that they had to give. You know, thank them for it. Be grateful for it. I want to challenge all of our listeners tonight to join me starting tonight, posting on Facebook, Twitter, write it on their bulletin board. I don't care if they hold up a sign as they go down the hall at school or something. I don't know. However they want to do it. Write down every day something they're thankful for. I'm thankful for my mother and all the sacrifices she's made for me throughout my lifetime, that she's always done the best she could to show me true love. You know, things like that. I'm thankful for my husband and the fact that he was willing to sacrifice what he needed to in order to fight for our freedoms, for our country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, really put some thought behind it. I'm thankful for people like you, too, you know, that are willing to give your time and your effort to enlighten people that may not have anybody else to talk to about things like this, you know? I'm very grateful to people like you. You know, I really want to turn our country around and bring us back to simple, thankful community.
Yes.
Yeah, and each one of us giving just a little bit and realizing that the spiritual world is not, okay, we have time for spiritual world today. We're going to do some investigating. I've got my equipment. Oh, no, I'm at work today. I'm wearing a different hat today. No, no, no. It's the same. It doesn't matter where you are. You know, what you do is still seen, and where you are, you still make that ripple.
Yeah.
So, well, and you know, I want people to be aware of it.
Nothing and no one is separate from us.
Thank
and
you.
That's a very hard thing.
I really like you.
Oh, thank you. I actually have a project that I do. It's called the Namaste Project, and it's where I challenge people to for 100 days. Do everything they can with everybody they encounter to recognize the light inside of that person. And that's a really hard thing to do.
It is. Mm. It is.
And, I mean, because I've done it.
It's a combination of what I'm doing.
Whoops, we lost your kin. Oh, there you are.
There you are.
Am I here?
You're here.
You're here.
Okay.
You blinked out.
I keep going away. I said, that's a combination of what my idea was and a little bit of Dale Carnegie, too. That is a hard thing.
But
when you start training your mind, it's amazing to what power comes behind your words.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a very spiritual path to take, because when the guy cuts you off in traffic, what you really want to do is flip him off.
Oh, yeah.
And
the proper way of handling it.
But
he's a dump truck, you know, who dumped on him before he finally just dumped on you? And are you going to take that dump and where he just dumped on you and dump on somebody else? Is it going to keep going? It's so easy to fall down the steps.
Well, and it's the other thing that I've discovered, it's very easy to do is to not see people. Like, say you go to McDonald's with your kids and you order and whatever, you don't see that person behind the counter. You could leave that McDonald's and not be able to describe the person who was just there. There's no connection there, or the grocery store, or wherever it is that you go. And so to make that effort to have the part of you that's light acknowledge the part of them that's light, it changes how you view everybody that you encounter in your life.
That's exactly right. I'm going to go into just a little deeper story, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely. You're the guest.
The team and I decided to go visit this location that was basically an urban legend. It was supposed to be a children's graveyard. And we had some people that still needed to get some hours in for... They had their degree in parapsychology, but that doesn't mean they know how to investigate as a team or deal with the equipment and things like that. And, you know, I'm pretty strict. Matthew's pretty strict too, my husband, about us working as a team and pulling together and, you know, making sure that we have our equipment in the proper places that it's supposed to go and that things are in better shape than when we arrive. You know, whenever we leave, it's better than when we got there.
That's a noble goal. That's the way to do it.
And so, I mean, we pick up, you know, trash, you know, we do our best to clean up, you know, we make friends, make sure we give people our card, let people know that we've been there, you know, make sure that we give proper credit. When we talk about the place we've been, we make sure we acknowledge, you know, the people that were there and try to give them a plug because they didn't have to open their doors to us, you know.
Right.
Well, we decided to go to the cemetery. So, I mean, there's no people to deal with, you know. And we had to park our cars and walk back there. And there's a full moon, and it was a sort of a fall night, and I could feel the wind starting to pull in. And as it was pulling on into the night, it was pulling some really dark clouds in. And it was pulling it right over the moon, so we're starting to lose light. And I could feel that the humidity and the nip coming in the air. and the leaves started rattling. So as we were walking, it sounded really noisy because it wasn't just our feet, but the wind rattling the hard leaves. And finally, we found the cemetery way back in the woods. And just as soon as I got there, I felt it. It was not a children's graveyard. In the beginning, the newer part, which I'm talking 1800s, was a children's graveyard, but that was an Indian burial ground.
Okay.
And I knew it just as sure as I walked in, and I thought, okay, well, we're going to be all right, because I know we're going to be respectful, but I knew that we would be watched, because I know that it's the belief and the customs of Native Americans, of some Native Americans, to stay earthbound for several generations to look after their family before they ascend on where they're going. Right. So I thought, okay, well, we're going to be watched, and I let everybody know. And there were sandstone-type tombstones, and they're easy to knock over, and they're the footstones, too, and there's no rhyme or reason. There were no paths. And I looked towards it as we got closer to the backside of the cemetery, and I mean, anybody could have gotten hurt, really. And we started seeing old toys where people had been leaving old toys for the children. The children would play with them. And then I started seeing where people had been tearing up the tombstones, busting them.
That's
because
horrible.
If you picked them up and busted them, they would just splatter everywhere because they were sand-based, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And somebody had actually dug into one of the Native American burial mounds and busted the headstones of several members of her family that was around her into her grave. I couldn't figure out how they did it because the dirt wasn't around the grave. It's like they took the dirt with them. I don't know. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they did it, but it was done. The deed was done. And there was a lot more mess. Things flipped over and all, and my heart broke. And I dropped to my knees, and I said, oh, my God, I am so sorry. I mean, I'm getting upset just thinking about it. And this is my Thanksgiving story because my being Cherokee, my husband is Lumbee, which is, when you speak of being Lumbee, you're called a Croatan Indian, which is actually the Thanksgiving Indians.
Okay.
And so he was there, and he was like, oh, what are we going to do, you know? And I had to do something. I mean, you know, and I could tell that we were being watched, and no wonder I felt what I felt, because I knew they thought we were there to do the same thing. And I said, oh, we can't have it like this. Mm-hmm. At all costs, we have to redeem our generation. I went down in the grave.
I'd imagine that's kind of a scary thing to do.
Well, I mean, it wasn't stomach turning or anything.
Sure.
Just, you know, it was just a hole. And I could tell she was very upset I was in her grave. And I was crying, and I said, please forgive me for being down in here, but I'm trying to get as close to you as possible.
Yeah.
And I said, you have got to listen to me. Please forgive us. Please forgive this generation. Of course, the KQ meter was about to fly out of my hand. About that time, the largest member of our team, 6'6", Irishman, and he said, Lee, you need to look up. And we started seeing shadowed people, full body apparitions, just around the outside of, it was amazing, but we could see them. They're right there, and they weren't moving. It wasn't just like a little out of the corner of your eye deal. They were right there. And we got pictures. And I said, I know that you're upset with me here. And I am here to try to beg for forgiveness for this generation. And I told her my name. And I said, I'm going to sit right here. You can be as mad as you want to at me, but I did not do this thing. Mm-hmm. I said your body to have children. You held your and nursed your children. You held your husband. You grew old. You know, you probably held your husband when he died, even. I mean, this body was not just a vessel. You know, it was a blessing to many, and it had no right to be treated this way. And if there was any way that I could hold you right now to show you the honor that I would give you, I would. And I ask you, please, to forgive us. We are not this way. I don't know who these people were. If I could find them, I would certainly handle it.
Yeah.
But please, please forgive us. And just as sure as I am sitting here right now, I audibly heard, you are my tribe. And it came over the ovulus. We heard it audibly. People dropped the flashlights when it happened, you know, that kind of thing. I had Ghost Radar on my app, and I saw 7 different, figures on that. And it started to rain, but because the canopy of the trees were so thick, we just felt really safe where we were. And the people in the team were taking pictures of me. And I said, okay, I'm going to get out now. Things started getting easy. You know, I felt easy. I said, I'm Mrs. Brown. Amazing. Her last name was Brown. I said, my name is, you know, Leitriana Brown. We might even be related, you know. And I am a Native American as well. And, you know, I'm trying so hard. I don't really know what I'm doing. But I'm opening my heart. Please, please, I'm begging for forgiveness, you know.
Wow.
And I've heard this thing, and I believe that you understand me. And when they were taking pictures of me trying to get out of this grave, now that was not easy, because it was raining in slippery red mud, you could see a spirit between me and the camera. Everybody else is in focus. I'm in focus. Everything's in focus. But it looks like a face over my face.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's on my website. It's on my Facebook page. I mean, you can see a face over my face. It doesn't even look like me. And it was taken with more than one camera by more than one person. And the EVPs were all chanting and singing, and I recognized them as hymn and prayer and happiness and, you know, like of peace. And I play Native American flute. My husband plays the drums, and my daughter, we all do.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks after that incident, after we had that happen, for 2 weeks, I could have my K2 meter, and we could play our music, and we would get hits on K2 meter, and ovulus and whatever every time we would play.
Wow.
They stayed with us. They said I was part of their tribe. I hope they meant it, because they're good people. They are good people. I don't know if they're with me now or not, and I hope that I'm worthy to be part of their tribe. And I hope that whoever did what they did, I hope 1,000 ants could have lived in their bed. That was not right to do that to that woman's, holy resting place. But that's my Thanksgiving story, that I wanted just to give her thanks and to try to bring peace back, and that she blessed me so much more than I could have ever blessed her. I was trying so hard, though. You just don't have any idea. I had no idea what I was doing. If I had my flute, it would have been easier, because I could have played something. Sometimes music does so much better. But,
well,
that
is
quite
a picture. So, yeah, I'm looking at the picture. Yeah, I absolutely do. And the other thing is, somebody who's squatting down by the grave, is that just a reflection? There's like a little blue. Why is that a reflection off of his jacket?
I don't know. We've been trying to figure that out, too.
There's a little glowy, so that little glowy blue reflection is something that you hadn't, that you've wondered about as well.
Right.
Wow, that's amazing. Hey, you know what? We need to go to break. And this is as good of a place as any. So when we come back, we will continue with Lee Brown. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.org.
In her riveting novel, Break in the Beyond, writer Kim Casey brings to life a supernatural tale filled with mystery, humor, and intrigue. Kim's suspenseful story focuses on Risa, a compassionate social worker who assists Owen, a young psychiatric patient. Is a 300-year-old entity speaking through Owen, or does he simply possess multiple personalities? Visit awningpublishing.ca to order your copy of Breaking the Beyond. That's A-H-N-E-E-N publishing.ca.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Did you know that you can talk to your favorite show hosts from the Z-Talk Radio Network? Check out the forum and see what it's all about at ztalkradio.com. Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
Thank you.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
And everybody, we are back at Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. For the last hour or so, we've been talking to Lee Brown of Paranormal Research Organization of the Southeast PROS. And right before we went to break, we heard an amazing story that just, I mean, it blew me away. It made me fall silent. I did not know what to say. So, you know, Lee, thanks for coming back, for, you know, spending, you know, some more time with us. And, you know, like I told you before, during break, is my grandmother was Cherokee, and just hearing your story was just, I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. It felt good hearing that kind of story.
Hearing so. That, no, what it is hearing that kind of care, because that's how I feel about the spirits that I encounter when I investigate. And you very seldom hear people express that kind of love, caution, care, and concern. And so I appreciate it, because that's how I feel when I investigate, always, always.
Right. Well, always, I just always believe show that respect. Healing comes no matter what stage of life you're in, even if you're already, you know, deceased, because you're still in a stage, you're in a cycle of life.
Right.
Or you wouldn't be able to still be able to communicate like we are now. And we have responsibilities to each other still.
Yes.
So you're absolutely right. I'm with you 110%. And the next story is really going to knock your socks off.
Can't wait.
Go
please.
For it. We're ready.
Go for it.
All right. This one, I've got the video footage, and I can send it to you if you'd like to see it. I'm preparing it for release now on my YouTube channel. I affectionately call it Love Never Dies. I was invited by Newberry, South Carolina Chamber of Commerce to come to their town and pretty much investigate their entire town. It's one of the most haunted places I've ever seen. We investigated their opera house, which was haunted. One of the first times I've ever had a full-body apparition appear in my lap, like she was through my lap. I was sitting in a chair in the theater, and she was right there, you know. Yeah. And I was just praying that a camera was on me. She was just amazing. But anyway, the story's not about her, so I'm going to move on. Across the street, there's a restaurant called Delamater's, and it was haunted as well. It was a bank, and there was a gentleman upstairs, and that'll be another story, but I will tell you that he is a famous man in history, and if you will have me back, I will send you the footage so that you can hear it, or I can post it on my YouTube video channel so that your viewers can watch it, and I would be more than glad to give you all the background information on it, but I can give you all the history. Everything I'm telling you can be backed up by history.
Cool.
A historic record. Historic record. Okay. So that was the second investigation of the Newberry, South Carolina investigation. The third one is the one I want to tell you about. It was the Newberry Hotel. It was called the Magnolia, I believe, before it became just plain Newberry Hotel. And a beautiful woman, she was a petite lady and dressed quite well, was expecting a baby. She came off of the train and walked down the middle of Main Street. Everybody, you know, she stood out because of her beauty, but also because she was a stranger. And she got a room at the hotel in the en suite, and everyone saw her at the window watching down the street the whole day, staring out the window. And this is right at one of the only red lights in town. So you can imagine what it was like, everybody going by there and seeing this lady just gazing down the street, just looking through everybody else, just looking for one person.
Okay.
Not speaking to anybody else, just window up, looking down the street. Well, you know, it got nightfall and everybody went to sleep and whatnot. And housekeeping came, and she didn't come to the door.
Mm-hmm.
She had committed suicide.
Oh.
Expecting a baby and had committed suicide. Okay, well, that sounds horrible, and it is very horrible. The hotel then started falling into some hard times. The whole town fell into some hard times. The railroad got into some things it shouldn't have.
Yeah.
There's some controversy there with the railroad, controversy with the hotel even, and the bank, and just more and more and more. And then finally, the hotel closed.
Mm-hmm.
It changed hands a few times and then finally closed. Well, last Halloween, I believe, somebody said something about they'd pay someone some money, $50, $150, to spend the night in the hotel.
Okay.
I was like, okay. Just put me in there. How about it? You know, just put me in there.
Sure.
Get out of the way, you know. So, of course, when they said I could go in, you know, they had to take me through carefully. There's some places on the floor that were dangerous. And I went straight to her suite, and she was there.
Okay.
And so I sat down where I felt like maybe her bed would have been, and she didn't want to talk to me at first. I mean, just one little light on the K2 meter, nothing much on the ovulus, just yes and no answers. And mm-hmm. then she said, "Judge." And I said, "I absolutely am not going to judge you."
Yeah.
"I am not going to judge you. That is not my business. I'm here to talk to you. That, you know, that is not my responsibility to judge you."
Right.
And I told her my name, and I had my daughter with me. And she's 18. And my daughter started talking to her, and my daughter's a very bubbly personality. And then out of nowhere, she told me her name was Hattie.
Hmm.
And I said, "Hattie, I'm curious. Is your baby here?" And she immediately said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, how do you communicate?" And of course, the light started going. And then I could hear her in my head, you know, and I said, "Oh, I understand. The baby can communicate the way that you're communicating with me right now." And, okay. You know, she let me know, "Yes." And then the ovulus said, "Samoan." I said, "The father was Samoan or Asian." And ovulus said, "Yes."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Oh my gosh, this was a biracial situation. The railroad, I know for a fact, was known to have Asian people working the railroad, and you fell for someone, didn't you? You got yourself into a mess."
And yeah, this was...
She said, "Murder."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Oh my gosh, Hattie, he heard something he shouldn't have heard. There was a scandal, wasn't there?" I mean, it was all unfolding in front of my eyes. I could see him. I could see, you know, him coming around the corner and them turning and seeing him, you know, hear what he heard and threatening him. And I said, "Oh my God, they killed him." And a K2 meter was just, you know, it was actually on the floor, you know, vibrating.
Yeah.
And I said, "They murdered him, and you knew that he said, 'Go to Newberry, stay at the hotel. If I don't come, you know that they've gotten me.'" And she said, "Yes." And when he didn't show, you knew that they had murdered him, and you knew that they would know his child because he would stand out so much, and you did what you did out of mercy, not out of, you know, anguish. And then I started crying. I could feel it. I could feel it just as well as if I was her myself. Yeah. And I said, "Hattie, I'm so sorry that happened to you." And I said, "Please tell me he's here." And then he was. He was there. All three of them were living there in the hotel together.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was like the most beautiful romantic story, even though he had been murdered and she sacrificed herself and her child to keep them from being, you know, tortured or whatever, they were still able to live in that hotel together.
Yeah.
And all of this happened in front of the associate manager of the Chamber of Commerce. She saw the whole thing. And and she said, "This is so beautiful." She was crying, I was crying. And then as I looked through the records of the hotel, I found her name. I could see her handwriting. And her name was on the registry.
Wow.
And it showed the records also about the scandal of the bank and how they had swindled, said they had bought some investments that they hadn't, and how it came out through some workers from the railroad.
Yeah.
And so that's how he was killed, and she was just a victim, just like the baby and just like the man. So it reminded me so much of all the stories you hear, you know, the star-crossed lovers, Romeo and Juliet, they were still together. They never crossed over because they're happy in spirit together.
Right.
Wow.
The baby and the two of them together. And, you know, I told her, I said, well, you don't have to stay here because, you know, the opera house across the street, there's a lady over there that haunts it, and she sees all the shows that are over there. Well, I could take the baby and go over there and see some shows. Yeah. She said, okay. So they agreed to go over there and watch some shows, you know. So I felt like I made some good friends. I really did.
Wow. No, I was just going to say, I think that these stories are so amazing because, let's face it, fear sells. And you don't get a chance to hear these kind of beautiful stories where, you know, things that really matter. And these are things that matter, you know, and just great stories. I mean,
well, that's it. It's there is a compassion in what you do.
Yes.
And that's why I investigate. Work with the paranormal. It's about the compassion. It's about meeting people, hearing their stories, helping in any way I can, and
even if it's just letting them know that they have a voice again.
Yeah,
and that somebody cared enough to listen. That's right.
I know, and unfortunately, for so many people, it's about proving to the world or being famous or, you know, having a thrill or and I understand it, and it's okay if that's what you do. I'm not going to judge you for that, but it is nice to know. And the last several shows that we've had people on, we've actually wound up with guests who've been more in that compassionate. I'm here to connect with other souls.
Right.
And it's been really nice for me to hear, because you often feel like a lone voice in the wilderness with that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've had some bad things happen. I had a fellow call me and tell me he thought he was becoming possessed. And as we walked up to him, scratch marks just cut him all to pieces, across the top of his head, on his cheek, down his leg, as we walked up to him. We've also had other situations where a cat was drugged by its tail across the room and flung up in my lap. An ovulist said, "Kill, blood, rod."
God.
Because someone had done a ritual in the house, and it was a demonic thing, and they didn't do the sacrifice, and it wanted me to finish the sacrifice.
Well, it's not all rainbows and bunnies.
Well,
no. But
when you come across,
I said, nobody's dying here tonight, and I didn't give you any permission to talk to me, so you need to leave me alone.
But when you come across those darker things, is there compassion there for the darker things too? Because they're living in this dark, ugly world, you know?
Yeah, you have to watch them though.
I know.
Don't use your kindness for weakness, but you're absolutely right. It's so sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad to watch them because there's so many different levels of them. The lower level, an unintelligent ones.
Sure. Or the ones that have never incarnated. Things like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
have you guys ever spoke of elementals?
Yes.
On the show?
Yeah, we've covered it.
If you guys ever... if you ever want to have me back, that's something that we can talk a good bit about Native American history and Native American lore. Because a lot of people look at elementals from a European perspective,
right?
And they don't really realize how serious and modern they are. And I may actually have some pictures I can show you.
Oh, cool. We will definitely have to have you back maybe right after the new year or something. So I have a question from Elaine in chat. And Elaine is a friend of mine that I investigate with from time to time.
Okay. Well, thanks for the question, Elaine.
She is a psychic medium herself. And I will tell you that I know why she's asking this question. She wants to know if you ever get requests from the other side. And if they request something of you, what types of things do they ask?
I do. I get requests a lot. I get requests to tell people things. I get requests to repeat, like with Native American souls, you know, to repeat ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They really like to see certain ceremonies again or hear a certain song. I get that a lot.
They can actually be quite demanding, can't they, sometimes, in what they want.
Yeah.
Do you blame them?
Yes.
No, I don't blame them at all.
Yeah.
I had a spirit wake me up, hovering over the top of me, and they told me to write this letter to their family member exactly this way, and they would come back every night until I made sure that letter was, you know, given to them. And he was not a friendly man. He was very, very powerful. And you bet that letter went right out, right into his email, because I did not want that guy back. Uh-uh.
Yeah,
no.
I've had a request to write a letter too, and I did right away. And then I photographed it on my iPhone, and I texted it so that it was delivered.
Mm-hmm. There's a fellow that was in a car accident. And there were some questions about, you know, as to what happened. And he told me. And it was just, I didn't want to be involved. I didn't want to be involved. And he would not leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And I finally said, my God, if you will leave me alone, I will tell your brother what happened. And if he thinks I'm crazy, it's going to be your fault. And so I called him and I said, look, your brother's about to drive me crazy. This is what he wanted me to tell you. And I started crying. And I said, I can only tell you what he said, and here it is. And I just said it. And every bit of it made sense to him, and it gave him a lot of peace. But, wow. I really had to step out on a limb on that, you know, because the brother was a police officer. You know, sure. He could have really thought I was loopy, you know.
Yeah.
Still, but
it worked out really well.
What a blessing to be able to do that, because I believe that the essence of life, the things that make us happiest and most fulfilled in life, have to do with giving. Mm-hmm. And look at the opportunity that you're being presented with to give, to share, to help. That's got to be very satisfying. To me, it sounds like a tremendous blessing.
Well, my children, my son especially, is more gifted in this way than I am. And I have to deal with what he hears and sees and what he wants to say or feels like he needs to say, which keeps me off my toes. You know, that whole deal about, oh my gosh, my kid's psychic. What do I do? I don't have the problem about what do I do, what do I do. I worry about what other people will do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I worry about my son has abilities as well. And I worry about how to be a good steward of that. He's 16 and, a lot of the time, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it because he's 16, you know. So, and he wants to, you know, play his music and be with his friends and be a normal kid. And of course,
but after the testosterone puberty age, boy, it's going to hit him hard. His abilities are going to be very strong.
Yeah.
Much stronger than ever before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know it. You know I'm telling you the truth.
I know. And as a parent, it's hard. I worry about being a good steward of that. I don't worry about him. He's a good kid. I think that he is a pretty sensitive and emotionally intelligent child. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I grew up, of course, in a different time where the things that I experienced and saw, you didn't talk about it. when I was a kid, especially because I was raised in a Christian family. I mean, you just didn't. It's only been in the last few years that I've been really open about my abilities, my experiences, and people still think I'm nuts, and it's okay. You know?
I know what you mean.
I'm about a psychic as a brick, so.
My husband lived in a horribly, horribly haunted, I mean, viciously haunted house, and his stepfather was going to seminary. So there's no way that they could talk about it openly.
Right.
And his stepfather was also going to school. I mean, not going to work. So he was working and going to school, and he had five brothers and sisters at the time, and mother was bedridden the last part of the last term of her pregnancy. So my husband was being homeschooled at 15. Mm-hmm. So basically he was there to tend to the kids and the house and whatever else happened. And gosh, his story is, we're writing the book actually. It's the things that he had to go through to try to clear that house at such a young age.
And, well, were they human spirits or non-human spirits?
Oh, they both.
Both.
Most definitely both. The ladies that lived there before were witches. I don't mean, you know.
You don't mean Wiccans. You mean witches.
Yeah.
Right.
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 Black magic type stuff.
That's it. And you know, he really had a lot to deal with, and he was 15. And his mother was bedridden, like I said, and he couldn't even talk. He couldn't even get his stepfather to acknowledge it. Mm. And his sister was thrown down the steps. And they found out that every family member that had lived there since the 1700s had lost a family member to murder or suicide or...
Oh, my. Get out of that house.
Yeah, and there they were with all those babies, but they didn't lose anybody, and everybody turned out fine.
Wow.
But you see why I love my husband so much. He's
Wow.
He really is. He's a rock. But it's quite a story.
So earlier, when we were talking, you were talking about affirmation and being affirmative in your life, and I kind of wanted to go back to that because I believe affirmation is a tremendous tool. I believe visualization, affirmation, belief, but I think that a lot of people misuse it. And the reason that I think that a lot of people misuse it is that they think so small that they limit God. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I wanted you to maybe talk a little bit about affirmation and how to use it as a tool in your life in a way that actually brings not necessarily the things you think you want, money, wealth, power, position, whatever, but brings you the things that you need and that you'll grow the most from.
Right. Well, let's talk about positive affirmation. What exactly is that? Now, I want to talk about, let's see, now, who was that in the Bible? It was Abraham. When he was dying, he asked for his children to be brought to him at his bed, and he spoke affirmations over each one of his children. And that was a really incredible moments with each one of those children.
Right.
It was as if you know, being given a mighty gift, because where the words were given, they knew action would follow. So that's just the way it was, because what Dad said, you know, action followed. That's just the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And people believed in speaking over. And that's what they would say. I'm speaking over the situation. And you've heard people say, talk to that mountain, speak to the mountain. Or do self-talk or inner dialogue. Stream of affirmations. It's a flow of affirmations where we create our own life experience in every moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you are constantly saying, I cannot do this, or you have a memory that is so negative, you don't pull up a chair there's a particular person that is a positive speaker, and he uses this terminology. He'll say, don't pull up a chair and pop popcorn and watch the movie and right. play it over and over yeah. in your head. You know, I'm such a dummy. I'm such a dummy. Look what a, you know, dummy I am. Instead, push that aside and pull out specifically what you learned and say, you know, I am a better person from this. I've learned from this. And, you know, I can expect to be blessed. Yeah. And that is the inner truth that you need to hang on to. And it's not like, you know, hey, I need a Rolex, you know, kind of a positive affirmation. We're not talking about that. We're talking about self-nurturing beliefs. And we're not talking about brainwashing ourselves.
Mm-mm. No.
What we're talking about, how affirmations, yes, they really work. You'll be hard-pushed to find anybody that has any self-help program anywhere that doesn't include self positive affirmations. You know,
right.
they appear right. everywhere. And the reason why they work is because you, let's say that you want to do, let's say I want to drive to the beach. I'm going to get out my GPS, or my notebook, or I'm going to get out my, let's say my laptop, and I'm going to do some research about beaches in the area and look at the weather and look at the price of the hotels and make mm-hmm. my decision and make it come into focus and figure out my budget and think if I have enough vacation time and slowly make it come to play, and then the next thing I know I'm at the beach. Well, if you have a positive affirmation and you believe that you're going to do this thing, slowly that's what you do. You start finding ways to make it happen. I am mm-hmm. going to be a blessed, you know, I am a blessed wife and mother. I have a wonderful job, and I work with wonderful coworkers. You know, if you are constantly saying, you know, positive things about your life, it's number one, healing.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's healing people around you. And it's bringing a sense of joy, well-being, and it's, and what you're saying is true. And when you say this emotion, you're bringing it into being.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, but I yeah. think that as human beings leading lives in the society where possessions and money and jobs and all of that are what's important, I think we think so small that we can, that affirmation can be limiting instead of expanding if you mm-hmm. focus on things, not qualities. Does that make sense?
Well, there are those kinds of people that can supercharge, as you can say, their affirmations and magnify their effectiveness. You know, if they believe that they can be a millionaire, they can't just say, one day I'm going to be a millionaire. If they bring that into focus, they're going to have to break down how. Mm-hmm. And you, it might okay. be a situation where God's just going to have to deal with them and say, that might not be the right thing for me. You right. know?
Yeah.
But what if it is?
Right.
You know, I've heard several people that are talking about positive affirmations, and this guy was driving by this house, and he looked over, and he looked at that beautiful home, and he said, man, I'd love to have a place like that, but I know I'll never have it. And he said that he felt like God said to him, oh, ye of little faith, you have not because you ask not.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I right. mean, it can go both ways, but I just strongly urge people to, you know, if they want to embark on a very large journey like that, to seek professional support and go through the process of breaking down those steps, and it'll make it easier. You know, you can't just, it's not a genie in a lamp situation.
No.
No.
I mean, it, don't be very materialistic and that kind of thing. I mean, that's not what this is meant to do. This is meant as a emotional spiritual and healthy affirmation for your children, for your life, for your family, and for your country. And each one of us, if we realize that is what we're supposed to do in our community, that that is our purpose, then each one of us will fall into place and will make a difference. You know, it's sort of like that old song, was it? I like to teach the world to sing and learn.
Right.
Everybody holding hands? It's true. You know, everybody has a place. And if everybody has that place, then they're happy. They know where they're supposed to be. But it can change aspects of your life. If you start seismically changing your eternal life, it will reflect inside you. It will actually change your chakras. It will change the positive thinking in your mind. It'll mm-hmm. actually change chemicals in your brain, because if you're stressed out, everybody, I mean, any doctor can tell you that chemically your brain will change how it, the serotonins in the brain work. And so, I mean, it changes everything. It, stress lines on your face,
mm-hmm.
the foods you crave, the foods you eat, stress, weight, you know, craving the wrong kinds of foods, it does everything wrong.
Right.
It's self-fulfilled prophecy.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, and the other thing about affirmation that I think is important to understand is that we hear the loud thoughts that we have that are negative about ourselves. We hear, you know, when we think bad things about ourselves, sometimes we hear that very loudly, but sometimes it's a quiet dialogue that runs underneath and we don't even realize that it's there until we pay attention to it.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can hide things from yourself so well. You know, us women, we beat ourselves up about our age, about our weight,
mm-hmm.
so much.
Yesterday I sat down because I just sometimes catch myself with some of those things. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's just a lifetime of thinking them. And even the most positive person in the world thinks them. And I sat down mm-hmm. and I started to list some of the beliefs that when I really pay attention, I can hear myself doing. And the list gets pretty startling pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And I actually printed it and was really embarrassed because I didn't want anybody in my family to see it, you know, because it would make me look like a neurotic, insecure twit. And so I burned it and then replaced every one of those things with a positive statement. And I think it's a big thing. Yeah. I think that that's what people need to do, because you can't be in this place of compassion and love and giving towards others unless you're there for yourself first.
A Vietnam vet told me to take toilet paper and roll it out as far as you can. And when you have those moments of memories that you just don't want to deal with, that just won't go away, and those memories, also those thoughts that you can't control about yourself that you wish you didn't have, you know, things going downhill, you're not what you used to be, that kind of thing, you just write it out on that toilet paper and then use it. That's what he told me.
Well,
yeah,
tell
me that.
That's hilarious.
It's awesome.
No, like just use it, because that's what it's worth, because you can't do anything about it.
Oh, that's
funny.
You
can't change the past. You can only change, you know, sometimes you have to take a quick jump back. You get tired. You have to jump back and say, wait a minute, I'm going about this the wrong way. And I like to call that Moomba, not Hakuna Matata. I call it, you know, not that. I call
That's
it Moomba. You have to say it. That's guttural. You know, it's like my instinct to survive. It's right here. Moomba. I'm getting ready to move by this situation. So that's my word. A friend was telling me about that word and what it means. There's no word for it in our language. And I'm like, that's it. Moomba. You know, I just got overwhelmed by something. How can I take what just happened to me and figure out a way to make it come out for the good?
Yes.
Because sometimes people can take it and let it drag you down.
Absolutely. And it's very easy to do, especially when you just start to get caught up in all the crap that is life. You know, we just came through a very difficult election where, you know, there was a hate and vitriol spewed, and, you know, people are still struggling financially and people are struggling professionally. And yeah, it's really easy to get mired in that. And I'm a pretty positive person, but I just the other day realized, you know, oh my God, all of this is there. And it just felt so much better once it was gone.
How many people will help each other if a situation gets worse and the economy gets worse? Are they going to be crabs in the bucket pulling each other back down in the bucket, or are they actually going to help each other?
Well, my hope is that they will help each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Because, I mean, there were whole families living together back during the Depression. My grandmother was telling me. She lives with me. She actually started our paranormal investigation. And her mother, she's 87. She still does some stuff with us.
Wow.
And, so cool.
This does scare her at all. I mean, she's been there, done that. And she said, I'm just seeing it come back around again. She said, just hold still. This too shall pass. And if it doesn't... She said, this too shall pass. And if it doesn't, it's meant to teach you something.
Well, that's it. It seems like when you get stripped away of the things that you think matter, whether it's your home and your car, or, you know, your bank account or your job or whatever else, when those things are stripped away or threatened, you're left with the things that, to me, I think really matter. And then you have a choice. Am I going to put my self-worth and my happiness and my belief in those things that were stripped away and therefore be miserable? Or am I going to put who I am in the things that truly matter? My family, my friends, the people I love, my creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, for everybody, it's something different.
Well, how many times as we're investigating do we hear people say, oh, my bank account, oh, my ring? No, they're saying, Susan, or John.
That's true. I have never had a ghost tell me that it was about the bank account. I did have one ghost one time, though, who was yammering on, and he kept showing me his house and his car. I mean, so those were very important things to him, and it's probably why he was still around.
Attachments.
Because he was bummed that he was, you know, no longer with his house and his car. But you're right. Usually it's not my house and my car. It's usually my family, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. There was one guy, I was going to tell you about it, you know, later on, but I'll mention this. He actually had worked at this bank giving rations during the Civil War. And so he had gone back there after he was killed in the Battle of Eutaw Springs. And he was telling me that the floor was kind of sticky where we were walking. And I said, gosh, listen to that. And Ovulus said, coins. And I said, yeah, it does sound like coins dropping. We're going to have to remember to tag this. But it did. It sounded like something hitting the floor. And he said, just illusion.
Wow.
And I thought that was so insightful that he was just saying that money was just an illusion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, Elaine in chat had one more question for you.
And okay, she hit me.
what your advice would be for somebody who's new, just starting out, whether they have, you know, intuitive abilities or not. Now, I believe everybody does, but I believe some people don't notice it. So, what kind of advice would you give somebody who's just getting started out in this paranormal field?
I would say, try not to spend too much money on a bunch of equipment. Keep it simple.
Thank you. That's what we were talking about at the start of the show.
really? I didn't know that. I would say, you know, a nice flashlight. Don't go alone. I know a lot of people do, but I don't like for people to do that because it's just too dangerous. You could have maybe two cell phones and get the business done. There's apps you can download that aren't, there's some that are just crap. Please don't download those and try to fool people. That's tacky. Don't do that.
Yeah, right.
But you know, you've got voice recorders on your phone. You've got point and shoot cameras that have video footage and they can take pictures. You know, compasses are something that my grandmother used. A compass works the same as a K2 meter. If something is around you that has a magnetic pull, it, just like a K2 meter would pick up, it would make a compass turn.
Right.
If you're standing still and something gets near you, it would pull it. So those are super cheap, you know, like $1 or $2.
Yeah.
And just try to document everything you can. Take great notes and don't forget to tag.
Yes.
Because you'll play the devil trying to go back through, and you'll think you've got something you don't have.
Yep.
And you'll realize you've just ruined the entire investigation because, you know, you hear a motorcycle going through or somebody's got on a windbreaker and you can't understand what anybody's saying because of this guy with his windbreaker and he won't hold still.
That's right. Don't investigate in corduroy trousers, folks.
Exactly. Don't do that.
The friction.
And enjoy yourself. And don't forget to follow up with the historic background of a place. And if you do anything for a client, make sure that you can escalate it to other people if you run into something. Don't ever leave a client hanging. If you run into something and you've got genuine questions, make sure you have somebody that you can reach out to that you can escalate it to and turn it over to them. You know what I'm saying? Don't just leave somebody hanging and scare the bejesus out of somebody and then just walk away. That's not right to do somebody that way. They have to live in that home.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. So. Well, you are an absolute breath of fresh air. It's been just absolutely a pleasure to talk to you. I'm serious about you coming back after the first of the year because we couldn't cover it in 2 hours. You know, or in an hour and a half. So please do come back. I'll have Cheryl schedule it. I know you and Cheryl communicate fairly regularly anyway.
Oh, we
and
do, yes.
So we have come to the time of our program now where you can pimp anything you want. Promo away.
I'm sorry? I can do
You can promo anything you want. Your website, you said you...
Okay. All right. Well, please be looking for... Our series called Sacred Voices. It's going to take me a little bit longer to pull it together because I want it to be right. We're going to add some of our Native American music to it. We played for a Native American film festival, and it just went so well. And when you have the chief of the Iroquois tribe standing there listening to you play, and he's giving you a compliment, give you a little more faith that maybe you can go ahead and add that to what you want to do. So we're going to try to put some of that in there. And we have a book of sort of like a director's log for Paranormal Pros and Family Spirit that we're going to come out with of our short stories of our investigations. So that should be coming out soon. And please go to my website. It's www.paranormalpros.com. And you can see all of our different videos. Also, we will be on my ghost story in January. Okay. And we'll be on another show coming up soon. Whenever you have me back, I'll be able to tell you more about that one. I haven't gotten that one nailed down yet, but... there's another show.
Very
cool.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. It's been like I say, it's been fascinating. You're a good storyteller, and I pretty much agree with, you know, about 100% of what you've said. So we're pretty simpatico.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just gonna say in Cherokee, don't go ahead me, which means go with many blessings and love. And you just say back, wado.
Wado?
Wado?
Wado.
Wado?
Yeah, that just means, basically that means, and in return.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So I'll say it again. Dona gogeni.
Wado.
And then you say wado. Perfect.
Wado.
And don't forget to count your blessings every day. I'll be looking on Facebook. Feel free to add me, and we're all going to count our blessings till Thanksgiving. And I'll be praying for each and every one of you to have a blessed new year. We've
Thank
got
you.
Nothing but wonderful things to look forward to.
Thank you. Sounds
Thank
good
you.
To me. All right. Thank you so much, Lee. It's been great. So that's
thank you, Lee.
Adriana Brown, everybody. It's paranormalpros.com. Look on her site. It's great. She's got some of those pictures we were talking about, some video, lots of really good stuff on that website. I enjoyed looking around. So, Cheryl, we're off next week.
Hi, we are off next week. And oh my gosh.
Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving. But we'll be back the week after. And before I promo our next guest in 2 weeks, I want to thank Lee for joining us. And I actually can't wait to have you back on, Lee. So
yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah,
first of the year.
Well, yeah. I'll just send her a little email and thank her.
Yeah, it'll be wonderful. I'm excited to have her back. Like I say, seriously, we couldn't cover everything in the hour and a half that we talked to her. And you know what? That's a great guest.
Excellent. Just fascinating. From laughing to crying. You can't ask for more, right?
Yeah, really quickly, coming up on Fox City's Paranormal After Us, Billy Bean is going to join them. I can't see very well. I'm not wearing my glasses. So we're off next week, and the week after we are doing what?
We are back. We're back the week after Thanksgiving, which will be the 29th of November.
That's because we're dedicated.
Yes. And we'll be talking with Jill Marie Moore. She's a psychic medium as well as an author. She wrote 207, A Personal Account of Love, Paranormal Phenomenon, and Demonic Possession. And I've read her book, and I recommend it to everyone. It's just, it's an unbelievable account of some experiences in Jill's life and how she came through those. And it's pretty amazing. I know she's working on a documentary right now about that. And I know she's working on a follow-up book called Saints, Sinners, and Sacred Ground, which I think will be released soon or maybe at the early part of next year.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So, also, I have been blogging again, not on Paranormal Underground.
How dare you?
I know, but no, I've been blogging at SSPRI. I'm going to say that again because you spoke over me. SSPRI.org. It's my paranormal team, South Sound Paranormal Research. You know, I can cross post some of those, Cheryl, on Paranormal Underground. You just have to tell me the ones you want. I'm absolutely fine with that.
Wait
but
a
check
minute,
it
wait
out.
A minute.
We have
what
a
do
brand
you-
new, improved, beautiful website.
Yeah, I actually clicked on it today. I wanted to read more about your blog today about your thoughts on if spirits get trapped or not here around us, which I started reading and then I had to stop. But you need to blog everything on ParanormalUnderground.net.
So you just want me to cross-post them?
Yeah.
We'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Sometimes but sometimes I talk about specifically what we do at SSPR. So that's maybe not those.
Okay. Whatever you want.
Okay, so we are out of time. Stick around for Fox City's Paranormal. Bill Bean, that's coming up next, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Until then, this is Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. 2 weeks from now, we will be back at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states where Rick lives.
That's right.
Yay.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
All
right, bye-bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.